Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, here's a story from Sachi Wagner.
I'm often asked how I came to be in Coconut Grove. It really began in Cincinnati, Ohio. I was at the university there, and I happened into a charity shop of priests from Haiti. And I was disillusioned, actually, as a teenager there, and decided that I wanted to go to Haiti and work in the orphanage that they represented. So I got to Miami and actually happened to come to Coconut Grove. I was staying with a friend who had come to get her sister, and they were going back to Cincinnati. Well, Papa Doc died, and they could no longer be responsible for me in the riots. After 2 days in Coconut Grove, I'd already well aware I could not go back to Cincinnati. I'd found my sole refuge, a community of artists, musicians, writers, poets, mavericks. I needed to learn more and see more, and being 18 and cute and idealistic, it wasn't hard for me to be taken in by the community. And I met my children's father of my three children. And we were kind of a commune of sorts, six motorcycles blazing down US-1 in black leather jackets with large silver kanji on the back in Chinese that said love. We needed a means of support, so we opened a bookstore. And the bookstore was largely on books about Asian art, history, philosophy, and in 1971, that resonated very well with the community, and we were quite successful. It was called the I Ching. I had some artifacts. My father was in the Korean conflict. I remember at the age of 10 finding Confucian analects in my grandfather's library and reading them. And I think it was probably pretty spooky for my parents at the time and my largely Presbyterian community. But it just is something I've gravitated towards all my life. At the age of 15, I had such an affinity for the Far East that I bought all the Asian art with my squirreled babysitting money from my great aunt's collection. These things were on display largely as illustrations of what the books were talking about and how heavily ingrained the philosophies were in the works of art, the symbolism there. We did establish the Coconut Grove Temple of Yoga on Mary Street. The community had a compound that we purchased with an old abandoned church and three small residents. And there was the first Coconut Grove Center for Far Eastern contemplative traditions. Baba Ram Dass was there, Shivananda Muktananda, Philip Kaplow, the author of Three Pillars of Zen. It really was a center within the community for that. And we then migrated to 3,500 square feet where Cocoa Walk now resides. After time, though, the community started to come apart. I separated from my children's father and had a satellite business in the Mayfair, which it was called the Midori Gallery. Midori Gallery, in the beginning, I didn't have the Asian art, but there was a tremendous amount of support that came forward from collectors I'd met and learned from my colleagues in London. I had consignments until I could establish my own inventory, and Midori Gallery then grew. And I later migrated to next door to Iris Marnell on Commodore Plaza, who had an 18-year antique shop there. She was my landlady. And when she decided to retire, she was kind enough to wait for me to find the financing so that the Midori Gallery could then become a wonderful two-story emporium of Asian antiquities. And today I have the privilege, now that my gallery on Commodore, I have vacated the smaller shop where I was previously, and I'm now fortunate enough to help co-sponsor A local yoga, what they call their local neighborhood yoga sanctuary, Dharma Studio. And so it's as if I've come full circle to come back to be able to provide something that would otherwise perhaps be lost in the largesse of real estate and rental properties that are now quite expensive within our community.
Sachi Wagner with a little bit of history of Coconut Grove.
Yes, and such a beautiful bit of history about herself. This is somebody who got a sense of herself at a very young age. I can only think that this is the story of what they call an old soul. Sachi herself is not old. She was born with wisdom and born with knowledge that not every child has.
I love the fact that she happened to be in a stopover in Coconut Grove and decided to stay.
And I love the fact that she was such a part of the community with store, with gallery, with a yoga center. She really made Miami her home in such a deep way.
And she had quite an impact in Coconut Grove because that area became known as an alternative enclave with a lot of hippies and yoga and music. It seems like she was an important part of the development.
Absolutely. And Michael, she names that center Dharma. And Dharma, of course, means so many things. It's such a rich term. But one of the uses of the term in Buddhism is your journey, your path, the path you were meant to be on, perhaps. And not only was Sachi on her right path from a very young age, but she established a path, undoubtedly, for many people who followed her, whether it was the store or the gallery or the yoga center. She established that path.
I was surprised that she came from Cincinnati, which seemed like such a Midwestern city, and Coconut Grove would be such a radical change that she seemed to fit right in.
Yes, and I really like the fact that she describes herself as cute. People took her under their wing. She was a very young woman, still a teenager, and she was sort of at loose ends. She was going to go to Haiti and then didn't go to Haiti and came here quite by chance on her way to Haiti and became almost magically part of the community in that people just almost adopted her, it sounds like, from the way she tells the story. And you gotta think, you know, there are so many ways that this story could have ended. There are so many paths that Sachi could have taken. I don't mean in a negative way at all, although that could have happened as well. But I mean, instead of saying, I'm going here to get to Haiti, oh, Haiti didn't work out, I'm going to turn around, I'm going to go home, she had the patience to see what the next step was. I think so many of us, particularly when we're young, we say, okay, this is my story. This is what I have in my mind, that this is what's going to happen. This is who I am. This is what I'm doing. This is what's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen the way that our narrative or the way that our story has set it forth, we either get completely flummoxed or else we just turn around and go back to step one again. And she did not do that. Instead, she said, well, maybe this wasn't the story. Maybe it's this, or maybe it goes this way. And she was along for the ride, sort of, to see where her life would take her, what her true destiny was. And it's a very interesting way of telling a story, because so often in a story, you'll see a setup, you'll see a foreshadowing, you'll see in a movie, we'll see this all the time. Oh, we know why this happened because look at where she was. But we really don't know why it happened. Maybe it was chance, maybe it was fate.
It would have been completely different if she had gone to Haiti. This whole history would have been different.
Her whole story would have been different. And how many times have I looked at my own life and thought, this was the turning point. In film, they call it a plot point. This is where the story started going in one direction and then went in a totally different direction that couldn't have been foreseen. And it's the same thing with this story. That was the turning point, the plot point in her life. Well, we'll always think of that line of the road not taken, right? That poem. I mean, where might she have ended up? We'll never know, and we'll never know that about any of our stories. And that's why this story, I think, has a special meaning in some ways, because if we just let life happen and we're responsible and we make our plans, but you know what happens when we make plans?
What happens?
The universe laughs.
Well, Karen, thanks for bringing that story in. If our listeners have a South Florida story they'd like to share, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email at cneil, that's C-N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Or check out our website that has contact information as well as archive stories at wlrn.org. Click on Radio and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.